Hey guys, good afternoon and welcome to the 330 Sports Show. My name is Justin Coffin and today is Tuesday, April 27th, 2021. We're broadcasting live from downtown Youngstown, Ohio. And in we are also produced by Joe Danier and the Youngstown Studio Network. As always, we have our box of loot up here, I guess. Joe has added another $100 this week. So we have a three-digit code. We'll unlock this box. How much money's in there?
$600.
$600 in cash and AirPod Pros. If you've been listening to the show, you can you realize you'll win by guessing that three-digit code. Joe, you have a few clues for people that maybe haven't seen.
I have
seen.
A new one. I'm giving one today.
Clue. Okay.
Yes. Okay. So the first clue is that I looked at a clock to come up with the answer.
Okay.
The second one is a one-word clue, which is partners.
Okay.
And the last clue is one of the digits is even and two of the digits are odd.
Oh, that's a big time clue. Yes. You can really do some one even, two odd.
Two odd.
Okay. That's a pretty big time clue. Okay. So phone lines will be open the first part of our show today. 330-595-1600-330. 595-1600. I'm going to put a graphic up here on the screen for anyone watching. I'm going to encourage anyone watching to, if you haven't already followed our 330 Sports Show page, please do that. It is available on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at 330 Sports Show. Also, make sure to follow and like the Youngstown Studio page. That, you know, you'll get direct live feeds from that. I put the YouTube and the Facebook, but it's also available on Twitter at Ytown Studio. Again, you can call in live to any of our shows, 330-595-1600. And then on any of your podcast platforms that you subscribe to, could be, you know, I have on there Spotify and iTunes, but, you know, there's so many out there, Google Podcasts, just anyone you can think of, iHeart, all those. It's available on all those platforms, my show, as well as four or five other shows on our network. So we have, I think there's, last time I looked, Joe, there was somewhere around like 500 shows on the podcast platform.
Isn't that cool?
It's really, really cool. So, and a lot of our content, you know, some of our content, especially sports related, is very, you know, topical, but a lot of our shows, especially with, you know, with certain guests, you know, you can listen to it 3 months, you know, you could listen to a show from 3 months ago and it's still relevant, which is pretty cool. Yep. So, you know, so always check those out. We appreciate all you guys watching, listening, and again, sharing out, our show. And if you guys can subscribe, leave a comment, that really, really helps us grow as a network and helps our individual shows grow a lot. So, Joe, one more time, give us the clues for this, okay, for anyone that wants to call.
So the first one is that I got the numbers from a clock.
Okay.
The second one is one word answer, or one word clue, partners. And the last clue is one of the digits is even and two of the digits are odd.
Okay. All right. Very good. So, you know, it's some pretty big money in there. $600 plus a chance to win those AirPod Pros. So,
yeah. And you got a call there too, if you want to take it.
Yeah. We'll take it. All right, caller, are you there?
Sure am.
All right, what's your name?
Dave.
Dave? All right, hey, Dave, how are you?
Yeah. Good, how's it going?
Good, good. Well, I guess first, let's take a crack at the code here. So you have a guess for us?
I think I do.
So remember Joe's clues. It's got to be a number that would be on a clock, a three-digit number, partner, and one even, two odd?
Yes.
One even, two odd.
727?
727. All right, let's give it a shot. Oh, good try. You know, we encourage you to always call in. Anything you want to talk about in the world of sports?
Just go Yankees.
Okay. All right. Yeah. They took care of the Indians this weekend, 3 out of 4. So appreciate
it. It was enjoyable.
What's that?
It was enjoyable.
I'm sure. Yeah. As an Indians fan, it was not enjoyable, but yeah, Yankees, I think, you know, they've struggled out of the gate, good. But I think they got, you know, they have the lineup and the talent to do some damage this year. So Dave, thanks again for calling in. We'll talk to you soon. All right. So I want to introduce a little bit about what we're talking about today. Before I do that, I am very, very excited about a guest that's going to be on the show in a few weeks from now. So we're going to put that up on the screen. This is a very exciting guest. I think an elite guest. She actually has some roots right here in the Youngstown area, but her name that most people will remember is Melanie Valerio. She is a 1996 USA, not just Olympian, but a gold medalist swimmer on the USA Olympic team from 1996. And, you know, has a ton of other awards. Joe, she even told me last week she was going to bring in her gold medal onto the show.
Sweet.
So she will be traveling. I believe she lives in LA right now. So she's going to be traveling in, we're going to be doing a special Friday show that day. So, Friday, May 14th, we'll let you know on the time. We still don't have a time lockdown.
Can I touch the gold medal? I've never touched a gold medal.
I would imagine she's probably okay with that. I would assume so. So, I mean, I don't think if someone has a gold medal, that's a weird question to ask.
Yeah. You know? Would you let someone touch your gold medal if you had one?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
You would wear it everywhere you went. 5 years later, you'd be wearing it around town. It gets chicks. I hear.
I guarantee I probably would. Maybe not. Maybe after like a couple years, I might not, but you know, I might take it off when I get in the shower and stuff like that. But if it's like a Super Bowl ring too, if I had one of those, I'd be wearing the time. So, so I'm very, very excited for Melanie to come on the show. And, I still have some friends in the swimming world. I'm not a professional swimmer by any means, so I've reached out to them, and they're going to team up with a local high school team. I'll tell you about that too. And some of those high school swimmers are going to ask some questions for Melanie as well that, you know, maybe I wouldn't have the insight on. So I'm excited about that.
You've
so,
never done swimming
well,
professionally?
I mean, I swim for enjoyment and not to die. I do not swim competitively, so
okay.
You know,
so you might not know the questions to ask that's in the minds of swimmers.
You know, I know probably the base level, but these swimmers who get up at 5 a.m. and lift weights and do the grind and all that stuff, they'll have a little bit more insight than me and their coach as well. So, you know, you got to go to the experts on stuff like that. That's so, and I know they're excited about it too. So I think it'll be pretty cool. Two more things I want to promote real quick. Again, our draft night show, which is going to be this Thursday. Joe and I will be here in studio. I think I have a buddy or two that's going to be swinging by to help us out. You know, might have a little bit more insight as well. We're also going to have Lisa Resnick and Fast Freddy on in different sites, Westside Bowl and Magic Tree. And, I put on there approximately 7:45. The draft should start right around 8 o'clock. I believe the Jaguars will go on the clock, you know, right after Goodell, you know, he'll get the booze in Cleveland, you know, and then, you know, they'll put the Jaguars on the clock, and I'm sure everybody knows who the Jaguars are picking, but, you know, they'll probably take that first 10 minutes and we'll analyze, we'll have some fun with it. We'll do some different segments. We'll have the phone lines open. We're going to kick it to different people. So,
but everybody has to boo Goodell in the beginning of the show, even though we're not there.
Yeah.
He can hear us.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be fun. It'll be a lot of fun. So, so excited about that. And, before we go to our Zoom call here in a minute, our Zoom call is going to be with Brittany Mollis of, she is an awesome, awesome, awesome guest. She has a podcast called That's What B Said. And, we'll talk, her and I recorded an interview last night. We'll talk all things Cleveland and a little bit of Youngstown stuff in there too. So that's going to be an exciting segment. Look forward to, you know, you'll love the conversation with her. She's a Niles girl, so she has a lot of Youngstown roots too. But lives up in Cleveland and has a ton of insight on the Browns, the Cavs, the Indians, and what's going on around Cleveland. So we'll throw it over to that in just a minute. But before we do that, you know, Tuesdays, we always do our top five Tuesday segments. So in thinking about the NFL draft coming up, and Browns fans know this very, 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 very well. There are a lot of quarterback busts in the NFL. And this was really funny, Joe. I sent out a text to a few of my friends and I said, I want to talk about the top five biggest busts. And my one friend sent me like eye emojis back. He's like, are you talking about like Anna Nicole Smith or draft? So I said, maybe I should specify that. Yeah. We're going to talk about NFL quarterback busts. So what I did is
I think Ben Roethlisberger has the biggest quarterback bust, by the way.
Currently, I did? The man boobs.
Yeah.
he definitely hasn't been in the weight training program in the offseason. So what I did is I just went with like kind of the quarterbacks I could think of. I didn't do a whole lot of research on this or anything, but I went and was thinking about quarterbacks in, you know, the relatively recent history that have been busts. Now, there is only one Browns quarterback on this list, and these aren't necessarily 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in order, but these were the first five I could think of, and I do have a lot of honorable mentions that did not make the list. Joe, I know you have one addition to this, but I'm going to start with Matt Leinart. Matt Leinart, quarterback USC, number 10 overall. He could have actually went number one overall the previous year, but he chose to go back to USC for another year. That would have been the 2005 draft. So in 2006, he went to Arizona. His stock kind of plummeted, and then he basically spent four seasons as a backup and spent some time with the Texans and the Raiders, but only started one game after that. But some notable players that were selected after Matt Leinart in that same draft, Santonio Holmes of the Ohio State, who later went to Pittsburgh, had a great career. Nick Mangold of the Buckeyes as well, had a great career with the Jets, and Haloti Ngata, which Baltimore Ravens fans will remember, a great defensive tackle over the years. Number four, Browns fans. I mean, how could we not put Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football, on this list? The Browns also this year, and this is strictly quarterbacks, not just biggest busts in general, but the Browns also took a guy named Justin Gilbert, number 8 overall in that draft, who was probably way worse of a bust than Johnny Manziel. So that was just a really, really bad draft, the 2014 draft for the Browns. So Manziel out of Texas A&M went 22nd overall. And here is a warning for the Cleveland Browns. Do not trade up to number 22. That is my biggest warning, because at 22, we have taken Johnny Manziel, your boy, Brandon Whedon, and Brady Quinn, all at 22, all busts. We don't want any part of number 22. We stay away from 22. So,
he's playing again, isn't he? Isn't Manziel in some kind of Canadian league or something?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's called the AAF. I'm not really familiar with it. I think Josh Gordon actually played in that league too. But, you know, he tried to make a comeback in the CFL and...
I think it's a league where they force you to take cocaine before the games. I think that's what they did.
There is a great story about him going to Vegas, and he switches a name. He switches his first name, and, you know, like puts a blonde wig on and stuff like that. Like, I don't know if anybody knows more about that story. I don't know the details of that story, but I've just heard bits and pieces, and it sounds like something that it's like stranger than fiction, really. You know what I mean? So really, really interesting. And I know, you know, I don't want to get into someone's personal life, but like, you know, drug abuse and things like that really set this guy back. He did have a ton of talent, not like your prototypical quarterback in the sense of like height and size and all that stuff, but he was awesome in college. He really was. And ended up being a bust in the NFL. So
my big complaint over guys like him, even with Josh mm-hmm. Gordon, exceptional talent, but the problem is they deprive somebody who had good work ethic and worked really hard from mm-hmm. a seat, and sure. they pissed it away. And that's the part that only pisses me off, because there's some, you know, kid that gave everything, and these playboys out there, you know, waste that time.
Exactly. So. Exactly. Yeah. And I know Johnny had a very nice, like, he had a good upbringing, you know, he was in a wealthy family and all that. And, you know, kind of just didn't have that hardened work ethic yep. that you're talking about. Interesting thing though, Jadeveon Clowney went number one in that draft. He's on the Browns. Odell Beckham went number 12 in that draft, also on the Browns. So, you know, maybe those two picks that didn't pan out, you know, we got guys that hopefully will pan out for the Browns. All right. Number three on my list, I have Akili Smith of Oregon. This was the same draft that Tim Couch was in. Donovan McNabb was in. He went third overall to the Bengals, but he concluded his career with a 46.6 completion percentage, which is very hard to do, to be under 50%. That's really, really bad. Even while considering he only completed 56% of his passes in college. So I don't know what the Bengals exactly were thinking, picking him up third. He was out of Oregon. He played in only 22 games total in his career and was 3-14 as a starter. There were two Hall of Famers drafted right after, well, in the top 10 after him. Edgerrin James, who was a running back out of Miami, who played with Peyton Manning with Indy, and Champ Bailey, who was an awesome, awesome defensive back out of Georgia. You know, played a long career with the Broncos and I want to say Washington as well. Number two on our list, we have Jamarcus Russell. I could probably put him number one. But for the purposes of this, I put him number two. Out of LSU, Oakland Raiders, 2007, first overall pick. He finished his career 7-18 while throwing for about 4,000 yards, 18 touchdowns and 23 interceptions, which, you know, those numbers are not very good for a first-round pick. You know, his contract was huge. Now, they have since changed kind of the collective bargaining agreement where rookies don't make, you know, they kind of make their money in the second contract. They can get a decent signing bonus, but he had a massive contract. It was $61 million with 32 of that guaranteed. And, ooh, you know, so he made more millions than he threw, you know, double what he threw touchdowns. So that's pretty crazy. Dang. And listen to the Hall of Famers and some of the players, notable players drafted, you know, soon after him. Calvin Johnson, you know, Megatron, Detroit. Adrian Peterson, who's not yet in the Hall of Fame, but will be. The Browns drafted Joe Thomas in that draft, which, you know, one of the best Browns hits in draft history. And then Darrelle Revis had a great career with New England and a bunch of other teams. So, and then finally, my number one player I put on this list was taken directly after Peyton Manning in the 1998 pick. He went second overall. He went 4-17 as a starter while throwing 14 touchdowns and 36 interceptions. So almost a 1-3 ratio there. He never had more touchdowns than interceptions in a season. He never completed more than 51% of his passes in a season. And obviously this is another guy that dealt with kind of addiction and, you know, had troubles off the field. It's kind of a funny video. I don't have it queued up for us, but I'm going to recommend that you go out and look for Ryan Leaf gets into it, with a reporter in the locker room. It's just pretty funny. So, you know, Ryan Leaf, not a great career there. But obviously he's rebounded and he's doing some good things to like help others, you know, deal with addiction and stuff now. But some other players drafted in the first round after him that were notable in that draft. You're going to recognize the first two names are Hall of Famers. Charles Woodson, former Heisman Trophy winner as well, Randy Moss. And then the Steeler fans will know this name is Alan Faneca, who was an offensive lineman who had a really, really long career and, you know, did some great things for the Steelers for a long, long time. So those were my five. We could have added a ton more, but, you know, those were the names that kind of popped to my list. I have a few other considerations. Do you have any? I know your guy, so you go ahead and say it.
I was in Cleveland when we picked this, and the shock and horror when they said the name Brandon Weeden, mm-hmm. right? It was gasps. Yeah. Like, there was so much talent on that board when mm-hmm. we selected Brandon Weeden. Everybody's like, you mean the senior citizen Brandon
yeah.
Weeden?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that was my number one. And that's a big standout. I wouldn't even say that, you know, Quinn had a chance, Charlie Fry had a chance, and Colt McCoy, you know, would have had a chance mm-hmm. Barring those bad, you know, right. situations. But yeah, Reedon's my number one.
Yeah. Well, and even with like Charlie Fry and who was the other guy you mentioned?
McCoy.
And McCoy. Those guys weren't first round picks either. Right. You know, they're second, third round picks. The other guy that some Browns fans would say was a bust that I actually don't think he was Tim Couch. I think Tim Couch was put in a really rough situation. He actually did get the Browns to the playoffs in 2002, was injured, and then I believe it was Kelly Holcomb that started that playoff game against the Steelers way back when. But, you know, Tim Couch to me, I think if he was placed in a different situation, let's just say he went to Philadelphia instead of Donovan McNabb, he could have had that great career and, you know, could have been flipped. But a lot of it is where you're drafted and the people that surround you. You know, that to me, that's a big underlying, you know, important facet of the NFL draft. Just a couple quick nominees before we get to our guests here. Rick Meyer out of Notre Dame, Heath Shuler out of Tennessee. I had Brady Quinn on my list. Jake Locker. How about RG3? Would you consider him a bust?
You know, he still had the talent. He was just so damn brittle, mm-hmm. you know? So
I mean, he did. He won Rookie of the Year, but then after that, he really fell off the cliff.
Yeah,
you know?
And I think the physicality of the game just took a toll on him.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So that's my list. That's, you know, and Joe added some names to it. So if you have any ones that maybe we forgot, feel free to, you know, throw those in the comments. And again, this was only quarterbacks. If this was all positions, we could have added yes, a ton more sure. names, but I thought this was, you know, pretty on point for what's coming up. So don't forget Thursday night, we're going to have an awesome show for you.
Can I get a question in on you real quick? Please. So what do you think about the picking up the option for Baker?
Do you think it changes anything? I think the fifth year option was a no-brainer for the Browns. I mean, you have a guy that literally was drafted to an 0-16 team, has been a, you know, he's had how many head coaches and how many coordinators over his first 3 years, has taken the Browns to a playoff. Granted, that's a great roster surrounding him, but if you can keep really nice pieces around him, he can be a top 12 quarterback in this league. So for me, picking up the option, no brainer. If I were the Browns, I would probably sign him now to a long-term extension. Does he deserve Aaron Rodgers money? No. Does he deserve Dak Prescott money? No. But that's the going rate for quarterbacks, and the TV money is going to be kicking in next year. There's going to be butts in the seats to bring in a ton more money. So that cap, which is at like 180 some million now, is probably going up 30, 40 million.
Sign him now.
So he's going to want, or his agents or whoever around him might want more money than the going rate. So I would get that done soon, but you have to be aware of, you know, Jared Goff and Carson Wentz. Those put the Eagles and the Colts in, or not the Eagles and the Colts, the Eagles and the Rams in salary cap hell. And, you know, that's why the Browns were able to pick up, you know, John Johnson and Troy Hill, because they were cap casualties in LA. So, you know, the Browns don't want to be put in that situation. They want to plan for the future, but also lock down their quarterback. So it's a slippery slope, but yeah, I think if you can get the right deal for him and the right deal for the team, you kind of find that happy medium where you're not overpaying, but you're also, you know, paying for a good quality quarterback to keep consistency in the organization. I think yeah, that's
and,
so
and they're not being irresponsible with their cap money either. Sure, we're even seeing them sort of positioning themselves for something. I'm assuming that's to carve out for Baker so that you can put a long term.
I would assume so. Yeah, and they have some guys to pay. You know, they're gonna have to pay Denzel Ward. They're gonna have to, you know, pay Wyatt Teller. And there's, I actually asked Brittany a question in this, like, too. You got Nick Chubb, you got Denzel Ward, you got Baker, and you got Wyatt Teller. Four of those guys are gonna get paid, but you might only be able to sign three of them. So I asked her if you got
which one,
you know, which one has to go. So so we'll see. But you know, I don't know. I trust in the Browns front office, which is not something we could have said a couple years ago. So that's very, very nice to have an awesome head coach, a good quarterback, a great head a great GM, and all that. So the Browns are in a good, good situation, and we can talk more about that on Thursday. So with that said, I'm going to throw it over to our Zoom call. Again, this is Brittany Mollis. She is from Niles, Ohio, went to YSU, now lives up in Cleveland, and she has her own podcast, That's What B Said, with her other co-host, which is from our area as well. So take a listen to that, and I think you'll really enjoy it. And she brings a ton of information to the table.
All right. Hi, guys. Justin Coffin, 330 Sports Show. We are recording this on a Monday night for Tuesday's show. So today is Tuesday, April 27th, 2021. And joining me today is Brittany Mollis of That's What B Said. So Brittany, thanks for joining us.
Of course. It's nice to be here.
Yeah. Brittany is, Brittany has some Youngstown roots. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Even though you're from Niles, I believe, you know, we all kind of say, like, I'm from Boardman, so we say Youngstown, you know, it's kind of one of those things.
Exactly.
But, you know, I guess first I want to talk to you about your guys' podcast. So that's kind of how I, you know, found out about you and like through Twitter and stuff like that. So tell us about your podcast. That's What B Said.
Yeah. So about a year and a half ago, I have a friend named Bree. That's who I co-host the show with. And then we have our producer, Meredith Kane, and she works at 92.3 The Fan. She's a producer and board op there. And a company called Blue Wire had contacted me about doing a show. And I've always been a writer. So the thought of like speaking just terrified me to my core. So when they asked me to do it, I was like, I don't know. But then I met Bree for coffee the one day. Her and I actually met on Twitter. And I said, you know, if I'm going to do this show, the only way I'm going to do it is with you as a co-host.
Okay.
So she was all on board, and we've been doing it for about a year and a half now. And the reason we started it was because we saw a need for more female voices. I mean, you know, Browns fans, Cleveland fans in general are so passionate and engaged, and but you don't really see that represented on the radio at all. So, you know, even though I was afraid to speak, I was like, I feel like I just need to do this. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Every week we talk, it's sort of very conversational. You know, we go through all the hot topics, and right now it's like real draft heavy. So we've been doing a lot of that for the past month, but it's a good time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, and I was telling you off air, you know, I've listened to a handful of episodes, and you guys do just a fantastic job.
Thank you.
You know, I know on Twitter, sometimes you guys can get after it, and people probably fire back at you, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing sometimes. But, I was watching a little bit of your guys' episode the other night on Friday, the heavy on Browns.
Yeah.
And you had mentioned early on in that show about something about Twitter and being the least popular account or most hated. Tell me about that, because I have no idea what that's about.
So, you know how last year there were no sports, like during the whole COVID scenario. So these people on Twitter decided in place of March Madness, they were going to have this bracket of the worst accounts on Twitter. Okay. And, you know, I don't mean to brag, but I was the champion of this bracket. There were either 32 or 64, they had it set up. Okay. But of all those people, I was number one.
Okay.
So that's my claim to fame.
All right. Very good. What were you seeded in that tournament? Do you know?
I'm pretty sure I was a one seed. It wasn't a big surprise that I won this thing.
Oh my God. That's awesome. I will say though, you are a great follow on Twitter. Tell everybody real quick your Twitter handle if they want to follow you.
Yeah, it's at Bird's Eye View. It's spelled B-U-R-D-S-I-V-U-E.
Okay. All right. Very good. So you guys had mentioned, you know, like you guys are, you know, I would say just from the content you guys put out there, you're more knowledgeable than most, you know, whether it, you know, I'm not putting a sex to it, a sure. male, female, whoever, but you guys are more knowledgeable than the average fan by far. So, you know, I think what you guys do is just phenomenal, and especially putting, you know, giving females, like you said, a voice for mm-hmm. sports, especially in yes. Cleveland, you know, which you can put up there as arguably the best fan sports city in the country. So,
oh yeah, definitely.
So you guys do a great job. Just wanted to, you know, give you a shout out for that.
How
can people watch your guys' podcast or download it or listen to it? Or
so the podcast is on either Spotify, Apple, whatever you listen to podcasts on, it's available. It's that's what B said. And we're also, Bree and I have now joined Heavy, and, you know, there's like a subsection called Heavy on Browns.
Okay.
So we're going to be doing live shows on, for now, it's like Friday nights. And we have like so much fun doing that. Last week was our first one and it was a good time. So, you know, if you're listening, follow, or, and you have Facebook, go to Heavy on Browns and it'll just link you there and we'll see you there.
All right. Very good. All right, so let's switch now to your Youngstown roots. Obviously, we're the 330 Sports Show. We focus more on regional sports, but we have a lot of Youngstown people and a Youngstown influencer, mm-hmm. Influencers on our show. So tell us about your Youngstown roots and where you grew up and all that.
Yeah, well, first of all, I was so excited that you even asked me to do this, because normally when people ask me to do this, it's all Cleveland. So, you know, Cleveland shows will ask me to come on and do things, and Youngstown never does. So when you asked me, I was like, 330, yes. So I'm from Niles originally, and that's actually where I'm at right now. I'm at my parents' house.
Okay.
Yeah, I just got my second vaccine. So I was like, in case I'm not feeling good, I want my mom around. So
okay.
That's where I'm at now. But I went to YSU. Okay. I studied professional writing and editing with a focus on journalism. And yeah, Youngstown, it's always been a special place to me, and it always will. And it's funny when I tell people in Cleveland, you know, when my friends used to live up there before I did, I used to go up there and we'd like go out and stuff, and people were like, where are you from? And it's just so much easier to say Youngstown than Niles, because nobody really knows what Niles is or where it is.
Sure.
So I was like, oh, Youngstown. And they just like collapse on the bar. Like, oh, Youngstown. I'm like, yeah. What's wrong with you guys? Youngstown is great. How dare you?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. If you're from Youngstown, you feel like you always have to defend it.
And everyone says it should. Oh, it's just it should be in Pennsylvania. It's so Pittsburgh. I'm like, guys, hello.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love that you're a defender of the city. That's great.
Always.
So, I guess real quick before we switch to some, you know, Cleveland type things, what are some of your favorite like Youngstown things? I guess.
Oh, the food.
Okay.
100%. I always tell people in Cleveland, I was like, you know, they talk about pizza and they have like little Italy up there and talk about how good their Italian food is. And I'm not Italian. I call myself Italian by association because I grew up amongst so many of them. So when I tell them, guys, you don't understand what really good Italian food tastes like. And I always talk about Briar Hill pizza because that's my favorite thing in the world.
Okay.
So that's probably my favorite thing about Youngstown.
Okay. And Niles, I believe, Red Dragons, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Did you play any sports growing up?
I did. I played softball. I played softball through high school. I was the absolute worst offensive player you've ever seen in your life. But when I was in high school, I was an outfielder. So, you know, I played center field, left field, sometimes first base, and they tried to make me a catcher. But I was so fast that they put me on varsity as a freshman, even though like I could not hit to okay. save my life. If somebody had a gun to my head, they're like, hit the ball. There's nothing I could do for you. But yeah, I played. It was a good time. And
okay.
I was a Red Dragon.
Okay. All right. Well, a lot of our conversation is going to be about the Browns, obviously, with the draft coming up and stuff. And I know that's kind of your guys' specialty. But, you know, I guess I'll start from least interesting to most interesting. We'll build our way up to the Browns. So first, I want to talk to you about the Cavs. Mm-hmm. And first of all, what's going on with them? What's your overall thoughts?
You know, I have tried since LeBron left to get people excited for this team. It has been my number one mission as a Cleveland fan to get people excited for the Cavs again, because I just felt so bad once he left. I was like, he's creating such a hole in these people's hearts. So I tried to get them on board with, first of all, Colin Sexton. So anyone that follows me knows that I just adore Colin Sexton. And I keep preaching, you know, it's all about, you know, rebuilding, and you got to be patient, and you got to give them time, and blah, blah, blah. And they have a plan. That's what I say when like I'm panicked. It's all part of the plan. I don't know what the plan is, but it's all part of it. So, you know, with the Cavs, they're kind of in a position right now where, I mean, there's a lot of injuries, mm-hmm. so that doesn't help anything.
Right.
I'll admit that I was a lot more optimistic at the beginning of the year than I am now, which, yeah. you know, that kind of sucks. But I'm a big believer in the backcourt that we have. I love Colin Sexton. I love Darius Garland. Okay. I think they're sort of in a position where you have these pieces that eventually could be good if they just learn how to play together.
Sure.
And no doubt they need at least one or two more pieces to actually be, you know, in playoff contention at all.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I think they're at a point now where maybe the most probably the smartest thing would be is just sort of to, I don't like to use the word tank,
yeah.
but there's really not a nice way to say that.
You're right. Yeah.
So, you know, just tank, hope for the best. It's all part of the plan, Justin.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. All right. Yeah. I was going to ask you next about Colin Sexton, but you already answered my question. So you're good.
I could talk about him for 3 hours. So don't even start.
So I don't even have to ask, because I was going to ask you if you had to pick between Darius Garland or Colin Sexton, you're going Colin Sexton.
Here's the thing. I think that Darius Garland, obviously, and just as a, you know, a basketball fan, he has a higher ceiling than Colin Sexton. I think, you know, when all is said and done, Darius Garland is going to be the better player.
Okay.
But I think a world exists where those two can flourish next to each other. I hate this sort of competition that the fan base has built between the two.
Right.
Because I'm like, they're young, yes, and they're raw still. Mm-hmm. They both have flashes of something really good. And, you know, flashes of, you know, missteps and yeah. just the fundamentals that aren't there yet.
Sure.
But I do believe that those two, and I don't like the whole competition thing. I think that we're living in a world where those two can coexist and both be very good.
Okay. All right. Very good. Very good. Yeah. I think I'm in your camp though with the, they need to just probably lose out and get the best draft pick.
Yes.
Possible
yes.
at this point.
Yes. All right. There's no reason to keep winning for them.
Exactly. Well, let's go to probably the most frustrating Cleveland team, the Indians. So, you know, we know we have a pretty solid pitching staff, mm-hmm. Obviously with Bieber and, you know, Savale and, you know, all those guys, Plesac, but the offense, you know, the offense, sometimes it's there, most days it's not. So what's your overall thoughts on the Indians this year?
I think I was talking to my boyfriend the other day, and he's the kind of fan who likes watching pitchers duels, okay. loves them. And I was like, I can't watch this all season. I can't do it. Mm-hmm. You know, the problem with baseball is that it's a very slow sport, which is okay. You know, if you like that sort of thing, if you're passionate, most baseball fans like are purists and they love yeah, okay. that it's slow and whatever. But for me, I can't do it. And I think the Indians have sort of built this team in a way that's their only option. That's mostly their only option to win games, is get into these pitchers' duels. And it makes for really boring baseball. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
As a fan, this is just not. So the only time I watch the Indians, admittedly, is when Tristan McKenzie pitches.
Okay.
Because I love Tristan McKenzie and I want to see him flourish and do well. And, you know, that's my guy. But other than that, I can't bring myself to watch them, honestly. And it's sad.
It is. You know, especially where they were just a couple of years ago. And
yeah.
Okay. All right. So I think I kind of know the answer. So I guess I'm maybe leading you in this question, but just, you know, you don't have to go into a rant or anything, but tell me what you think about the Dolans.
Oh boy. Without going into a rant. So, you know, I'll just explain that baseball was my love. I loved it so much. Like, I lived for baseball all through my childhood, into college, everything. And then probably like 2011, 2012, I was just like, this family is killing my love of baseball. They are just tearing it apart piece by piece. And I hope, because you know, we talked about Cleveland fans being so passionate and engaged and loving, and they just want to see Cleveland do well. They're such Cleveland champions. I hope that at some point this team or this family just sells the team, because we deserve better than what they give us. And kudos to the front office for making it, you know, making them competitive every year, because I can't imagine that's easy to do with such little payroll, but they do it. They are a pitching farm, which is so impressive. Mm-hmm. But no, as far as the Dolans, I just wish they would sell it and be done with it, because Cleveland fans deserve better than what they get.
Okay. All right. That's very fair. And you were very nice on that answer too.
That's probably the nicest I've ever been when it comes to that.
Very, very good. All right. And I got to ask you too, what do you think the new team name might be, or do you even care?
So I am going to campaign for the Blue Sox. And let me tell you why.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, baseball, when you think of baseball, it's like tradition and people like romanticize it. And, you know, I think the Indians would be best off just completely rebranding themselves.
Sure.
And we think of the history of baseball and, you know, how rich it is and the things that work. I think the Blue Sox are sort of a combination of, you know, like the White Sox, Red Sox. It's different, but it's a new spin on it.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you think of Cleveland, obviously you think of like blue collar workers. It all just makes sense to me.
Okay.
Yeah. So sort of meshing the old baseball with the new baseball and trying to rebrand themselves, which they desperately need to do right now. I think that's my choice. That's my pick.
I like that. I like that.
Thank you.
I've heard other people even say the Blues. Would you be on board for that too?
Yeah, I'd be on board for that. Or just like Washington, you know, the Washington football team, Cleveland Baseball Club.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm on board for either of those. That's good. Okay. So, all right, let's go to, you know, kind of what you guys on your podcast, your main focus is, at least most of the time, the Browns. So, you know, first of all, I'm a little bit older than you. I know that, but, you know, growing up a Cleveland Browns fan was not an easy thing. You know, we've been punished. We've been loyal. You know, we've been every adjective you can think of, we've been through it.
Yes.
But so with all that kind of like pent up frustration, how awesome was last season for you?
Oh my gosh. Like, it was everything I could have dreamed of and more. I love, and you know what's so exciting about it is that it's not a fluke. Mm-hmm. Like, this is going to happen again.
Yeah.
And it's not like, you know, about hyping them up and putting all these high standards on. They have such a solid foundation right now. They have laid the groundwork to be good for years to come.
Yep.
So I can't bring myself to even worry about the future. Like, I just instinctively trust Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski, that they are very smart people who know what they're doing. And oh my God, isn't that something to say as a Browns fan?
I know. Yeah. How many times have we, you know, in the off season, worried about who our next head coach might be,
yes,
who our quarterback might be, you know?
Yes.
And the Browns really have the three pillars in place that you need to be successful.
Absolutely.
The coach, GM, you know, the Haslams, you know, I guess, but you got Baker there too, who you don't have to worry about. drafting a quarterback every single year. So
isn't it wonderful?
So awesome. but let me ask you, and this can be from a draft perspective or from just maybe, you know, remaining free agents or whatever you might think. What does this team actually need?
So as much as, and I'll get into who I campaign for in a second, as much as I campaign for one specific player, I do think that probably their biggest need right now would be a cornerback. Just because, you know, Greedy, we don't know. Denzel Ward is great when he's healthy.
Sure.
But, you know, we have these injury-prone cornerbacks. And again, I see, like, I have so many thoughts right now.
Yeah, yeah.
As far as the draft goes, I don't think the cornerbacks that they're going to want are going to be available. So if they do want them, they're going to have to trade up to get them.
Okay.
So that leads me to my next point, which is, you know, you have this defense last year, you know, under Joe Woods. The defense was just atrocious. It's hard to find positives about what happened last year, other than like Myles Garrett, Olivier Vernon, when he was there, you know, those are two bright spots, but you look at the secondary and, you know, linebacking corps. My problem is that, you know, Browns fans, they complain about the linebackers relentlessly. They've been doing it for 8 or 9 months now. Just that's so bad. It's terrible. Blah, blah, blah. Nobody can tackle Mac Wilson this. Blah. And, you know, I'm like, hey guys, I know this guy from Notre Dame who I love.
Okay.
You know, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa.
Ooh, like, I like that. Got the pronunciation right.
Oh, I have been practicing.
Well, you're a Notre Dame fan.
I have been preparing for this moment for years. So I tried to stop. I was like, guys, you know, he's not just a linebacker. And the Browns probably wouldn't use him as a linebacker. You know, he's very athletic, very versatile. He can cover slot. You know, he's a safety linebacker. He's all these things mixed into one. And you could just plug him into the field and he could do a lot of damage. And I'm like, guys, this is the guy. This is the guy the Browns know. So I get frustrated because Browns fans, they want to complain about something. But when I give them a solution to something, they're like, no, can't do that. Wide receiver or cornerback. So, you know, I give up. I'll just wait and see what Andrew Berry does. Hope for Jeremiah and we'll see how that goes.
Well, I will say I'm an Ohio State graduate, and in Ohio, I feel like it's either, you know, or at least I say for the most part, it's mostly Ohio State fans. And then I would say second to that is obviously Notre Dame fans. So sometimes there's that little rivalry between Ohio State fans, Notre Dame fans. But to me, I agree with you. I think he is probably, you know, you might argue Micah Parsons might be the best linebacker, but like you said, I think he could be this hybrid safety. And like you said, Joe Woods might want to use him in a lot of different positions.
And yes.
He could be the best player on the board. You know,
I'm saying it's not a crazy thing, but when I announce it, when I declare that this is who I'm going with, you know, they all attack me, which is fine. I get, you know, Notre Dame, but
right.
I'm telling you, if they get this guy, it's a steal.
Okay. All right. So do you think he will be there at 26 when the Browns pick, or are they going to have to trade up to get someone like him?
It's kind of difficult to say. So I definitely think, you know, if they want to get the cornerback they want, they're going to have to trade up to at least probably 18th.
Okay.
At 26, I don't know if Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa will be there at 26. He might only, and it's not like a knock at his talent or anything, but because he's such a unique kind of player,
sure.
You don't draft him unless you need him. You know, like with cornerbacks, everyone can use a cornerback. Every team in the NFL can use cornerback. That's a hot position, and all the good ones are going to go before 26.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that he's necessarily going to be there. There's a chance that, you know, Washington could take him at 20. You know, the Steelers could take him, which would absolutely destroy me. But even so, I think if they really value this guy, and Andrew Berry might, you know, I've read that they've met before and he really likes him. If he really values him, he could trade up to probably 20, take that pick from Washington and take him. But it's hard to say if he's going to be there at 26. That's pretty difficult.
Okay. All right. So let's just say, and I'm going to call him JOK because I can't pronounce it as well as you can with your writing background. But if he, let's just say the Browns stay put at 26, he's not there. Do you have like a secondary pick you would like?
So I
know there's so many combinations and so many ways it can go, but
yeah. Obviously, you know, like Greg Newsome from Northwestern would be okay. Caleb Farley from Virginia Tech, both corners, you know, cool. Asante Samuel Jr. from Florida State, another cornerback, and he's projected to go, I think, like, I don't know, like 29 to 30. The Browns could take him. Sure. Or like, you know, like I said, they might draft a wide receiver. I don't know which wide receiver will be available, but let me explain. About probably 3 months ago, I was on the show and I said, guys, I'm not getting attached to anyone. Like, I'm not even going to pay attention. I just instinctively trust Andrew Berry knows what he's doing. So I don't care. Well, then that got obliterated once I started, I started realizing what could happen and we could take the guy that I like. But yeah, other than him specifically, I trust that Andrew Berry is just going to know exactly what to do.
Okay. So I know you're in Niles now, but you live up in Cleveland. What's it like this week with the, you know, the draft stuff and the draft setup?
It looks beautiful. We're driving to the Wolfstein Center today to go get our shots. And, you know, it's probably about a 10, 12 minute drive from where I live. And they have done such an incredible job of making it look so beautiful down there. Like they do a pretty good job anyway, like, but it's almost unrecognizable. Just everything that's going on. And they've done such a good job setting it up. You know, I watch like progression pictures of the stage and everything every day. And the way they have it set up is so cool. There's a stage and then in the background, it's the skyline. Awesome. And it just looks so pretty. Oh, I cannot wait to see how it all comes together for Thursday night.
Awesome. Are you going to be up there for the draft?
I'm not going to the draft, unfortunately, because you had to have your second vaccine by April 15th.
Okay.
And I missed that. So no, but I will be downtown, you know, hanging out with some friends,
awesome,
cheering, talking them into Jeremiah when the Browns take him at 26.
Okay. All right. We are going to actually have a live show on draft night. So I encourage you to call in and maybe you could like do a quick, you know, just tell us what it's like down there. So we'll see if you're available for that.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, you know, I don't want to get into next year because that's just, you know, that's too far away. We got training camp, you know, the draft still, there's still some free agents out there. But I guess, you know, what's your confidence level going into next season? Let's say out of the scale of 1 to 10, you know, for the Browns, you know, I guess 10 being Super Bowl champs, 0, you know, 0-16 like we were a few years ago. Where are you on that scale right now?
I'm at a 10 plus. If I could be at a 20 right now, I would be. Okay. I just think, like I said, the foundation is there.
Yes.
This is, you know, we're now seeing something special, I think. They were already contenders to me, you know, as they finished last year. The only thing they really needed to improve to get them to that next level was the defense. And he's done such a great job already in free agency, picking up all those pieces that, you know, I can't wait to see what it looks like on the field. You know, the offense is solid. Now we're picking up everything we need for the defense. Like, I can't picture a better scenario right now. I'm over the moon excited for next year.
Yeah. I'm really excited to see this team on the field. And there's so many, they're really loaded at almost every position. You know, there's a few, we got to make sure we solidify the corner position, but, you know, like you said, linebacker, but besides that, the Browns are really, really looking strong.
They are.
So I guess let me, I'm going to come back to a few Browns questions. Let me ask you a few miscellaneous questions. About a month ago or so, we did like on our podcast, we did a sports movie bracket just for fun, like during March Madness. You have a favorite sports movie?
Yes, but I don't know if anyone will even know what it is.
Oh boy, okay.
Did you ever hear of a movie called The Sixth Man?
Oh, it's a basketball movie. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That is my favorite sports movie.
Okay, the Wayans brothers, right?
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, I've just seen bits and pieces, but I actually have a friend, a buddy that loves that movie. So.
Oh my gosh, they AK all the way. I watched that movie probably like 30 times when I was little. Okay. I just could not get enough of it. That's my favorite sports movie.
Okay. I like that. It's like a little outside the box. Very yes. Nice. Okay. All right. This might be a tough one for you to answer. So if you need time to think on it, that's fine. So if you had to pick your Mount Rushmore of Cleveland favorite athletes or coaches, so you got to pick four, and it could be any sport, who would your four be on the Mount Rushmore? It could be current or former or both.
Okay, so my personal favorites, if I had to put my personal favorites up there, this is going to be an odd collection of people, so get ready for this. Okay. My personal Cleveland Mount Rushmore would be Victor Martinez.
Love it.
Oh, Drew Gooden.
Oh,
love Drew Gooden.
That was a surprise. Okay.
Yes. So, Colin Sexton.
Okay.
And, you know, I think I'm going to have to go with Kevin Stefanski.
Okay.
That's my Mount Rushmore.
Okay. All right. Very nice. I mean, Kevin, were you, when they were doing the hiring, for Freddie Kitchens, so 2 years back, were you in the Freddie Kitchens or were you in the Stefanski? And I believe even like Robert Saleh was in that group of three there.
Yes. So you mean when they were doing, when they had it narrowed down between Saleh and Stefanski and McDaniels?
Were you on the Stefanski train early on?
Number one.
Okay.
Yes. With that. And you know, that caused a lot of Twitter drama because I saw what he did in Minnesota and I was like, guys, you know, if he could do, he had a similar arsenal of players that Freddie Kitchen had in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. I was like, if Kevin Stefanski could, you know, make Kirk Cousins look good, not that he's terrible, but you know, he's not like all world. Okay. Mm-hmm. But if he could take that and, you know, he likes tight ends, they have a similar scheme. Like it would just be a good fit. It's just such an easy transition, and to me it just made a lot of sense. And you know, you look at the Ivy League thing and of course I'm like, oh yeah, smart guys, analytics, football guys, this is what I like. So you know, that was my guy for number one, and it felt like most Browns fans were super pro McDaniels. They wanted Josh McDaniels in the worst way.
Okay.
But and I told them, I was like, I will convince myself to like any of these three, but Stefanski was always my number one. So when he got hired, I was very happy.
Awesome. Okay. All right. Very good. All right. I asked this to a lot of people that are on the show, and I think it's just kind of a fun question. So if you had a ticket to any game ever and a time machine to take you there, it could be, you know, past. I've only had one person say a future event that hasn't happened. But if you had you can go the past or future to any event that you can think of, where would you go or what game or event would you go to?
I would go to, well, it's kind of hard to say. So there's two answers here.
Okay.
And thinking about it, you think about all the heartaches in Cleveland that I'm glad I wasn't there for. Cause my instinct is to say the 97 World Series, but then I'm like, no, like that wouldn't have been fun, but you know, I would have liked to have been there anyway. But I think of the Cavs when they won the championship. Would have loved to be in there at that game. And the parade, which I was not at because I was living in North Carolina at the time. So I had to miss that, which just destroyed me. So those two things, that's where I want to be.
Okay. All right. Good answers. Okay. This is totally random off topic, but a baseball question. So last night, Madison Bumgarner threw a no-hitter, but it was a 7-inning no-hitter. You know how they're doing the 7 innings for each game when it's a doubleheader? In your mind, should that count?
No.
Okay.
Just no. There should be like, okay, but put an asterisk there. Okay. Like it was a no hitter, but wasn't really, because a lot of no hitters are lost in like 7th, 8th, 9th inning.
Okay. You're right. Yeah. You're right. Okay. I agree with you. All right. And last kind of random question. Favorite player that is not on a Cleveland team?
Miguel Cabrera. Actually, Miguel Cabrera or Jimmy Butler. I don't know. Both of those two. Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's fair. I like that. he has definitely, Miguel Cabrera has definitely become more likable as he's gotten older.
Yes.
Like, you know, when he was super awesome and the Tigers were great, you know, he was not fun to, he was not a likable guy then, but yeah.
You know, it was always hard for me because I fell in love with Miguel Cabrera back in 2003 or 2004 when he first started, when the Marlins went to the World Series, they played against the Yankees. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this guy is just everything. So like from that point on, like I was a Miguel Cabrera fan and throughout his entire career. So then when he came to the Tigers in like 2006, I was like, oh, that was when I was still like super pro Indians, love them to death. But you know, now I could just be open about my love for Miguel Cabrera because number one, his career is almost done. And number two, like the Indians, you know, I'm mad at the Dolans, so I can cheer for Miguel. I don't feel bad about it.
All right. Good answer. I like that. All right. So I got a few more. I'm going to do a couple that are this or that. So you got to pick one of the two.
Yes.
All right. So, you know, and this is kind of a controversial topic with the Browns, but one of these two or possibly even both of these two might not be around next year. But if you had to pick one, Odell Beckham or Jarvis Landry?
Oh, Odell.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. TV series or movies?
It's got to be TV series. I watched the same like five over and over again. So yeah, it's got to be TV.
All right. If you're watching a game, would you rather be at home or at the game in person?
So, no, that's tough. Because like I like watching Browns games from home, because of the weather mostly. Like it's just too cold. Cavs games, I like to be in person. I love going to Cavs games. It's probably my favorite sport to watch. And baseball, I'd still probably rather be at home for that.
Okay. All right. So I guess I'm going to come back to this in a minute. But since you mentioned the cold with the Browns, if they do build a new stadium, would you want a retractable dome on it?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. I'm not one of those people that are like, oh, you know, football. This is football weather. No, that's not me. I'm like, yes, give me warm.
Okay. All right. Very good. All right. This one, I don't know. This might be easy for you, might be tough. I don't know. So who do you dislike more, the Ravens or the Steelers?
Steelers, and it's not even close. Okay. And it's because I grew up in Youngstown.
Okay.
All the Steelers fans.
I'm 100% agree.
Yes.
Okay. All right. The Browns win one championship. So this is still this or that. So the Browns win one championship and the Indians and the Cavs basically stink. Or the Indians and the Cavs each win a championship, but the Browns stink.
Oh, got to have the Browns being good.
Okay.
So I'll take Cavs and Indians stinking. That's fine.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. All right. And if you could, now this is, you got to pick three out of the four.
Okay.
So one's got to go. So if you could only extend, you know, the Browns are in a good situation. They have a ton of good players, but unfortunately, you know, you got to start paying these guys more money. So, so long-term, Baker Mayfield, Nick Chubb, Denzel Ward, Wyatt Teller, one of those guys has to go.
Ooh, you know, I don't want to say it, but I gotta say Denzel Ward.
Okay.
And not because he went to Ohio State or anything, but because of his injuries. Sure. You know, that takes him out for me.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. No, that's fair. All right. And this is my last one. So your prediction, do the Browns stay put at 26? Do they trade up or do they trade back?
I'm kind of feeling like they might trade up. I really feel like they're going to try to get one of those corners.
Okay.
That's my gut.
Okay. Well, and if they don't, I hope they take your guy. And I'm calling him JOK. So
there you go. That's good.
So Brittany, I just want to thank you for coming on. And you are, you know, you have an open invite anytime you want to come on, or Bree wants to come on. You guys do such a fantastic job.
Thank you.
On your show. So I appreciate you taking the time out of your day. How you feeling too?
I'm feeling great so far, but I heard the second day hits harder. So we'll see. Fingers crossed.
I got mine last weekend. So, and I'm feeling good. So
good.
So yeah. So, but again, I appreciate you and, you know, you taking your time out of your night. So, thank you. And one more time, tell people how they can watch your show or follow you on Twitter.
Yeah, so you can watch our Facebook Lives at Heavy on Browns on Facebook. Just follow them and it'll redirect you to our link. And the show, it's weekly. It's called That's What B Said. You can find it on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Brittany, thank you, and have a great night.
Thank you, too.